I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I bring you here stories behind the stories, and traditionally, typically different stories than you're going to hear on most conservative radio. This is Truth Behind the Headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe little space, an island here for independent thought where we worship no party or politician, view everything through the lens of small, limited government as we were set up to achieve through the Founding Fathers and have since ignored for a variety of reasons. I've been in kind of a weird mood today. I was last night, too. I've decided I'm going to cover some stuff today that just shows the absolute insanity of the world we live in. It's like I'm in a different dimension watching what's transpiring right now. Nothing really makes any sense, but I've decided to just laugh at it. I'm just going to laugh. I think it's the only way to maintain your sanity through a time like this. Doesn't mean you don't take any action. Doesn't mean I'm not going to bring this material to you and let you do with it what you choose. But it seems like the only way to look at this complete absurdity of what we are witnessing right now is to just really kind of smile. Now, at the same time, I'm going to get prepared. Really, I've decided as I've watched things, and I've had this idea for a while, that my job is to try to spend time trying to create assets or cash or whatever I can to give my children so that they can make it through the future. I feel like I owe it to my kids. I have two. They're 18. They're going to be in the professional world in the blink of an eye. We know how quickly children seem to grow. They didn't do any of the things to anybody out there really under the age of about 25 or 30. It's none of the things we're seeing right now is their fault. And I feel obligated, to particularly to my children, to do something because it's our fault. What we are seeing right now, I'm going to go through these stories. I'll explain to you in a second why this is just bizarro world. But we did this. You and me, last several generations of supposed adults that have been running this world, this country of ours. We supported these politicians because of blinding party loyalty. And in the meanwhile, we have bankrupted our country and alienated the rest of the world. So I've got to do something to shore up my kids. Now, I'm not trying to raise any entitled kids who know I'm just going to give them a big wad of cash so they never have to work or be productive citizens. I'm realistic. I'm not going to be able to pass that level of wealth on to them. But that's really where my focus is. Laugh at the absurdity of the world at this point, but try to prepare to give my children something so they can survive it. Later on, I'm going to talk about one of our former national security advisors is out trashing Donald Trump. I mean, imagine my surprise. Now, if only there was a talk show host out there that told you when John Bolton's name was first surfaced as a Trump administration hire, if anybody could have been out there to warn you about this national security advisor, John Bolton. Oh, there were. There were exactly two, to my count. Me and Tucker Carlson. About the only two people out there. Now, what's going to be interesting to many of you, and again, this is a show about waking up, about opening your eyes to your own, to the news sources you have trusted for years and years and years. Again, I say, you've listened to all of the great conservative talking heads out there tell you what John Bolton was a genius hire and that his firing was a genius move, and you're going to find out very soon that neither was true. Well, the firing was true. The hiring was not. But what's very interesting when I get to this story is John Bolton did this trashing of Donald Trump's foreign policy in front of a room full of neocons. Now, what's interesting about that is that a lot of these people in the audience of these neocons are people that some of you are listening to today, and you think they're the good guys, like the head of Newsmax, Christopher Ruddy. John Bolton, as he trashed Donald Trump, was introduced, I believe, to the stage for his speech. This is a closed-door speech to the Gatestone Institute. I think it's what it's called, a neocon think tank. He was introduced by, what's her first name, Rebecca Mercer, I believe. She is the main funder of Breitbart News. Yes, that's right. Most Republicans get their foreign policy opinion and news from horrible neocon sites. It's why you've been led to support all these wars. It's why you think I'm anti-American for questioning anti-war stuff. I mean, for questioning the wars that are going on. That's right. John Bolton is out trashing President Trump to the heads of Newsmax, Breitbart. Alan Dershowitz was in there. He's become a darling to the Trump supporter because he's out there defending Trump and the Russia hoax stuff and some other things as an attorney. Turns out he's just a raving neocon. And when John Bolton made these comments trashing Donald Trump's foreign policy, it was to, as reported, thunderous applause by these neocons. And the vast majority of people who listen to me, who actually go to these websites, who are interested in foreign policy things, and so they think they're getting educated, you're going to these neocon sites. This is part of the grand game. I also did a little bit of research on Trump's new pick for National Security Advisor, and unfortunately, the news is not good. How does the term Bolton Light sound to you? This has been the idea, the description of our new National Security Advisor, Bolton Light. I don't know what's going on with Trump picking these guys. It's one of these things, fool me once. You know how the saying goes. But fool me three times? I mean, I don't know. Somebody is forcing Donald Trump's hand on these. I don't believe he wants this, or he's just being fooled. He has hired John Bolton Jr. as his National Security Advisor. We're going to take a look at some of the things that our new National Security Advisor said in the past, and maybe you can give me a glimmer of hope somewhere. He didn't appear to have been a lobbyist for any of the defense contractors, which is a plus, but he's got a whole host of other concerning traits, and it looks like foreign policy will not see much of an interruption after John Bolton's departure, unfortunately. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, the absurdity of the world. The Federal Reserve, I'm going to talk about it again. Look, there's a few things. If you can figure out a few things, you will get so much closer to the truth. And I'll be honest with you, you will lose faith in American institutions, and that's what needs to happen first, right? We talked about an alcoholic or a drug addict and say you need to hit rock bottom in order to get help to change your life. We accept that. You just can't really help somebody if they still think that they can continue to operate in a way as an alcoholic or a drug addict or anything else. You just can't help them on the way down. They've got to hit the bottom and then just cry out for help. And then that's when they rebuild their lives. The American people have got to understand the system is broken beyond repair by one of the two major parties. We've tried it, people. We've given the keys to the kingdom to both of these political parties, and it has continued down the same road. This is why I am an observer of the two political parties and not in the fight. I'm not on the team. It's a little lonelier than if I could just go to cocktail parties. I mean, do you know the invitations I'm just blowing to Republican Party establishment stuff? I'm a conservative talk show host. I could open up this chair across from me and have establishment politicians come in constantly and get to go to the parties. And I mean, it would just be so much fun, but I can't do it. The Federal Reserve, if you understand that, if you understand these foreign policy things from an outside view, if you break out of the brainwashing and the corral of Breitbart and Newsmax and Fox News, if you start to actually learn what's going on, and same with the Federal Reserve, that is how you set your mind free, and that is the only thing that will end up causing us to actually ever make any substantial changes. As long as we live in this two-party delusion that if our side just gets a few more seats, they'll fix it all, as long as we stay in that mentality, we haven't hit rock bottom and we won't demand any real change. The Federal Reserve did something yesterday that is just, it's absurd. It's bizarro world. Unless I'm missing something, if I am, you can call and let me know. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
There's one thing I think conservatives really, really, really miss. They don't understand it. They don't want to address it. Is, you know, we're seeing this rise of socialism. We've got 10 clowns on the Democratic stage the other day trying to give away a ton of stuff, talking about democratic socialism better than regular socialism. It's just all of this talk about this groundswell of people for socialism. I pointed out many times, many Republicans like their brand of socialism. They like their Medicare, their Medicaid, their Social Security, their huge military, all of the collective things that are done, and Republicans seem to be okay with them. So you kind of let the camel's nose under the tent there in the first place. But nobody really asks why. We didn't just suddenly have a generation that within the past, I don't know, I mean, it really, what, it's 10 years. Well, it's that Barack Obama. He's the one who turned them all into socialists. Well, not really. What you were seeing is the logical consequence of a financial system of a very prosperous country that has really picked winners and losers. And if you look at middle-class wages over the past 40 to 50 years, they haven't budged. Well, maybe they're moving a little bit now. Maybe Trump will have some good effect. As I've said before, that's great. It's unfortunate for us that Donald Trump's about 30, 40 years too late to really turn the ship around. I understand that the way you solve this socialist crisis is not to scream at a socialist on Twitter. It's not to go to Breitbart and weigh in on the comment sections, calling them libtards and things like that. You need to get down to the source of this. And we have a Federal Reserve System here in this country that has been lining the pockets of the elites for decades and decades and decades, really now going on about a little over 100 years. And that's why this topic is important to cover. I know most people don't tune into conservative talk radio to hear any of the inner workings of the Federal Reserve System, but it's one of these things, if you ever figure it out, you'll start to understand the bigger picture on things. The kids who are turning socialists right now, even some of the adults who are professing to want free health care, free retirement, free kindergarten, free college, free all this stuff, is because they are the ones living with the consequence of screwed up financial policies, monetary, economic policies, driven by the two parties and the Federal Reserve. That's why you're seeing this. The Federal Reserve acted yesterday as the masters of the American economy. It does make you feel good to know you've got, I think it's 15 guys and gals with all their PhDs and their economics. They control the entire economy. 15 people. They'll tell you what you're going to make on your savings rate. They'll tell you if the GDP of this country is going to go up or down or by too much. They're the ones who dictate how much debt we can take on. Yesterday, they jumped into action. What do you do when all the news is great in the United States, right? Core inflation, of course, is the highest in 11 years. We try to ignore that. Even by their measurements, they say core inflation is the highest it's been in 11 years. It's running at about 2.4%. That's according to the bogus federal government numbers, even. Unemployment near all-time lows. Bond yields, all-time lows, which means that our government's not paying very high interest rate on its debt. The dollar is strong. The stock market's at near all-time highs. Happy days are here again, right? Everything is rosy. The Trump economy is humming on all cylinders. So what does the Federal Reserve do at the prompting of Donald Trump? They lower interest rates again to stimulate what? Anyone? Anyone? They want more borrowing. They're trying to encourage more debt. Now, they're taking these interest rates back down into emergency levels, or theoretically, if you look at it historically, we've been at emergency levels for the last 10 years, not the zero that Obama enjoyed. But if the United States cannot handle a 2.5% Fed funds rate, then we've got some serious, serious problems. And you're being told everything's just humming along. Everything's great. Story said the greatest economy ever needs emergency rate cuts, emergency QE, and emergency repo injections from the Fed because of a liquidity crisis. That's what's happening right now. The Federal Reserve, for the third time in 3 days, after 10 years of not doing it, they are injecting more money. They're printing up money and putting it into the banks every morning for the last 3 mornings. The first morning, they did about $50-something billion, $53 billion. The next morning, they were asked for $80 billion, but they only gave away $75. Some poor bank out there didn't get their cash that they were looking for, about $5 billion short. And again, this morning, it was oversubscribed again, another $75 billion. In the last 2 days, let me tell you what the Federal Reserve has printed up. Somebody had a good mathematical explanation of this. In the 2 days, this is on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings, the Fed printed up a bunch of money. You know how much? $128 billion. That's 2 days. Just like that, no extra mining needed. Just click. This guy said, I'm sure it means nothing. See, we're being told, oh, that's not a big deal. The Federal Reserve printed up $128 billion in 2 days. Now, to put this in some context, because these numbers of billions and trillions and all that stuff is so hard for us to wrap our mind around, or it's just become commonplace to hear a billion. If you counted 128 billion seconds, if we were to look back into history, 128 billion seconds, you would end up 4,058 years ago. They printed this up in 2 days with just the movement of a mouse, a couple of enter buttons. Henry Ford said, quote, it is well enough that the people of this country do not understand banking and the monetary system, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. This is Henry Ford. I believe he said this back in the 1920s or 30s. And we are 100 years later, and the vast majority of people, they have kept this system going, by the vast majority of people being too concerned with the bread and circuses to figure out what's going on here. Donald Trump was not happy. The Federal Reserve cut a quarter point yesterday. Again, as I say, it's kind of odd. Everything's going great. Usually when you have a prosperous time in your personal life or in a country's life or in a company's life, that's when you start paying down debt. That's when you can handle higher interest rates because you don't need to borrow money. It doesn't really matter. Not for us. Donald Trump tweets out, Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve fail again. No guts, no sense, no vision, exclamation point. A terrible communicator, exclamation point. Because Donald Trump wanted them to cut interest rates even more. Somebody's lying to us. Now, I'll leave it up to you to decide who. Because you got a bunch of people out there telling us everything is fantastic. There's no problems. They're not even talking about the debt, so I assume that that's not even an issue. But they're doing emergency-level things. They're printing money for the last 3 mornings to total now over $200 billion, something they haven't done in 10 years, but they tell us everything's fine. We hear this is the greatest economy the country's ever seen, yet we can't handle 2.5% interest rates. Donald Trump wants them to go to zero or below negative interest rates. Now, for those of you who think that negative interest rates will be great, you've heard the stories. Denmark's got a negative interest rate mortgage. That's right. You borrow $200,000 for a house, you only have to pay back $195,000 over 30 years. That is a pretty good deal. Can you imagine how hard it is to get a mortgage in that situation? You want to see the mortgage market freeze up completely? See no houses move? Go to negative interest rates. You think a bank's going to be jumping through a lot of hoops to get your business to give you a mortgage that they're assured to lose money on? It's not going to happen. Donald Trump wants to see negative interest rates. The reason they want to see these low interest rates is so that corporations and the federal government can continue to borrow massive amounts of money to keep this Ponzi scheme running, because they know if we stop this borrowing, we're in big trouble. I looked at Donald Trump's tweet, Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve fail again. No guts, no sense, no vision, a terrible communicator. He's upset that they did not cut at least half a point, or he wanted a full point cut. He wants these interest rates back down to zero so we can really go to town with a lot more borrowing. One of the replies to it, there's a couple of replies. There was a fun exchange here. One of the replies, we real Latinas support President Donald J. Trump no matter what he says or does, exclamation point. Accept him as your president and commander. Amen. I know a lot of people probably agree with that. Maybe I'm making you mad right now. That's concerning to me. Accept him as your president and commander. That sounds kind of cultish to me. Kind of sounds like accept him as your Lord and Savior. I believe that's the level that many people have gone to. And it's not just Donald Trump. It was Barack Obama. I watched the worship of Black Jesus for 8 years, stood by as an observer, as I have been for quite some time, and just looked at it and said, oh my gosh, it's like a cult around this man. And I'm seeing it again. Another funny Twitter exchange. And this is pretty typical. Look, if I don't do sports talk here. And so if I get into a conversation with somebody about whether or not the Saints made a good move on a draft pick or a trade or something, I've got no leg to stand on because I don't understand it. I don't know it. I don't track it. So you know what I don't do? I don't put my opinion out there because I don't know. And I'm happy to say, yeah, I don't really follow that stuff. Was it a good move? And then I'll ask somebody, was that a good move? Was that a good trade? Was that a good idea? I'll listen to other people who study the stuff relentlessly and they'll have their opinions. I'm not going to challenge their opinions on something because I don't know. I don't go to my mechanic, and when he tells me something's wrong, I don't argue with him. Number one, I've got a really honest mechanic. It took me about 45 years to find an honest mechanic, but I actually found one. So I certainly don't argue with this guy. He tells me what's wrong with my car. I have no knowledge about the car, and so I'm not going to argue with him about it. I say, oh, okay, and then I ask him how much it's going to cost, and I kind of cringe for a second, and then because I've got a good mechanic, it's usually a lot lower than I thought, and I'm happy. But I don't argue with somebody when I don't know what something's going, what they're talking about. Politics is the exception to that. Politics is very interesting. The vast majority of people have no idea what they're talking about. They don't understand the Federal Reserve System. And that's fine. I don't care about that. But they're so ready to put out an opinion on it. This guy yesterday, and this is so typical. This guy, his name is John Pilmer, M.D. It says M.D. on there. I'm assuming this guy is actually a doctor. John Pilmer, M.D. He retweeted Donald Trump's tweet. Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve fail again. No guts, no sense, no vision. A terrible communicator. And John Pilmer retweets that. Well, he does retweet it, but he also replies to it. He says, the Fed needs to shape up! Exclamation point. And somebody in his Twitter feed said, can you explain why? No, he said, I'm so bad at Twitter, and I guess I'm not logged in, so I can't see the chain, so I have to remember it from yesterday. So John Pilmer says, the Fed needs to shape up! Exclamation point. And someone replies to him and says, can I ask you why you say that? And his reply was, no, you can't. Thank you. And that is where we are as a society. The Democrats will talk to climate change. They'll be all in for climate change. The whole world's going to implode in 12 years. You ask them a couple of simple questions or try to engage them on some level of the history of the Earth and why glaciers melted, 600,000 years ago. They can't talk about it. They don't understand it. They don't know. They just get their marching orders from the left who tells them, be afraid, be very afraid. Climate change is going to kill us all. This is politics in America. Our understanding of political issues is a mile wide and about a half an inch deep on everything. This guy is cheering Donald Trump, John Pilmer. And it's fine. Look, I'm not trying to tell everybody don't support Trump, but Trump's your employee. You should know when he does something good and when he does something wrong. Calling for zero interest rates at this point in our future is just going to saddle future generations with staggering more amounts of debt. It is wrong. Donald Trump is wrong to do this. I understand why. He wants to get reelected. I don't understand why people want to support him for that, particularly retirees who are getting 0.25% on their savings rate, or they will again. It's spiked over the last couple of years as they've risen interest rates. You may be getting 2% on your savings now. That's more than you've seen in 11 years, and now you want to see it shrink back down. Now, Donald Trump wants to get reelected. I understand his motives. I don't understand the motives of his followers who say he's always right about everything. This would be a disaster for the United States. The 10 years of zero interest rates under, Obama was there for 8 years, but the last 10 years of near zero or zero interest rates was a disaster. Candidate Trump called that out. He said, Janet Yellen's doing political things. And now he's asking Jerome Powell to do political things. But this John Pillmer, this tweet just shows me, this guy, he wants to, the Fed needs to shape up. He's made his opinion known. And when somebody asks him why he has that opinion, he says, no, you can't ask me that. Because he has no idea. Democrats want free college, free health care, free child care, free everything. Everything's free. Trump just wants the Fed to give free money to America's biggest corporations and to the federal government. It allows them to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. The lower the interest rates, the more Congress realizes, oh, we'll barely move the needle on interest payments every year. We can tack another trillion on there. They'll barely notice. Here's the ugly little secret. At some point, interest rates are going to go up. And all those extra trillions that they got away adding because there was interest was low at the time is going to completely crush this country. It's going to crush my kids' generation. It's going to crush my grandkids' generation. And John Pillmer thinks this is a great idea. He doesn't know why, but he cheers it. I'm telling you, this is a disaster in the making. An absolute disaster in the making. Got a quick story when I come back about Fannie and Freddie Mac. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the holders of a giant chunk of America's mortgages, the whole mortgage market. I'm going to tell you something in just a second. The most mortgage brokers and bankers that are in this city right now going to sitting at their desk, originating mortgages, dealing with Fannie and Freddie every single day, they have no earthly idea. I didn't know about it. I can guarantee you these people don't know about it either, and it should terrify all of us. I'm not trying to be a downer here, but as I say, we need to start accepting and understanding how rotten the system is. You can't change things if you don't understand, if we can't understand we're already at rock bottom. We're there. When you hear these numbers on Fannie and Freddie, man, I'm almost scared to say these things out loud. I'm scared people might hear this and somehow somebody who matters hears it. It's almost like maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, so maybe we can just continue to keep ignoring it. I was stunned by the numbers on Fannie and Freddie. I'll do that when I come back, Steve. All night
with Freddie King. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
What would you say is the percentage of Americans that would look back at the financial crisis in 2008, 2009 and think that we fixed everything? Yeah, it was a bad time, pretty deep recession. It was pretty bad. But, you know, the government and the Federal Reserve, they bailed out the banks, they bailed out the automakers, they bailed out the economy, and we fixed everything. You could not be wronger, to use that horrible word. And the Trump administration is figuring this out. This is a story about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, this is, I know, nobody tunes in. You want to hear me talk about Justin Trudeau and his blackface. I know. It's good for a chuckle. The hypocrisy is slap you in your face funny. But that's about as deep as that story goes. Your kids and grandkids aren't going to care whether or not Justin Trudeau did blackface or didn't do blackface. Your grandkids are not going to care if Don Lemon carried water for him on CNN last night. Very entertaining radio. It keeps everybody whipped up into their sides. I understand. That's, I guess, supposed to be part of the job. I just choose to approach this differently. This is some real-world stuff. In 2008, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac got $190 billion. of American taxpayer money to keep them afloat. Turns out they'd had some pretty reckless lending standards, and as most people who lived through the financial crisis can remember, we had a tiny bit of a housing crisis. Now, the Federal Reserve, leading up to this tremendous crisis, told us there was nothing to worry about, that you never see nationwide home prices decline, that it was contained to just a couple of overheated markets. This is a Federal Reserve that said they didn't see a recession anywhere in sight. I don't know how many clips I could play of Ben Bernanke, who either lied or was completely clueless on where we were, because now we're supposed to listen to him again. Jerome Powell with the Federal Reserve yesterday told us, everything looks great. Yeah, we're cutting rates, and that doesn't seem to be consistent, but it's just kind of, you know, we're just being cautious. Donald Trump wants them to cut 1%. Wants them to go to the negative. Yeah, but everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't pay attention to any of the emergency measures they're doing behind the curtains. Just watch the pretty movie that's on the screen. Listen to these numbers on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And here's what a Trump administration official, this was at a Senate Banking Committee meeting. So this is not like a secret. I said I didn't want this to get out. It's one of these things where the numbers here are so stunning. It's kind of like, can we just kind of ignore this for a while? Because this could be a catastrophe. So we gave Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are government institutions that facilitate all this buying and selling of houses and stuff, right? I think this was yesterday, or I'm not sure. It was a recent hearing at the Senate Banking Committee. Trump administration officials warned, quote, the U.S. housing finance system is, quote, worse off today than it was on the cusp of the 2008 financial crisis. Situation, this is not a quote, but the story says, the situation is worse now than it was 11 years ago. That means that $190 billion bailout didn't do much good. It's actually gotten worse. Now, listen to some of these numbers. I don't know if these will strike you. Again, I know I'm a little bit of a financial market nerd. But I got to tell you, I am sick and tired of watching talking heads. And this includes Donald Trump coming out and telling everybody, everything's great. We fixed everything. It's the greatest economy in the world. I don't know why that bothers me so much. It's just I don't like to hear falsehoods given to the American people. And the thing is that I'm not cheering for a recession. This guy sounds like a liberal, some left wing. He's cheering for a recession because he doesn't like Donald Trump. Good Lord, I'm not cheering for it then. I've been cheering for a recession for 10 years. You know why? Because I know we didn't fix anything in 2008. And the further we kick this can down the road, the bigger the can gets, and then it becomes my children's. You got people out there right now supporting Donald Trump and calling for actions that will decimate future generations by layering on more and more debt. The only reason to want interest rates significantly lower at this point is to encourage more borrowing and more debt, and that is the last thing we need. You are cheering for Donald Trump so that he gets a better economy, can goose GDP into 2020, and that's fine. I get that. I'm sure looking at the field of 10 from the Democrats, we all want to see Donald Trump reelected over any of them. But do we have to sacrifice our children in the meantime for a guy that's just going to serve 4 more years to satisfy our political lust to reelect our savior? We're going to seriously bankrupt future generations and support it willingly, cheeringly. Let me get down into this story on Fannie and Freddie. Thanks to a directive from Congress, again, and let me just say this too, you know how Fannie and Freddie wouldn't exist if libertarians were in charge? I know all these people like to deride libertarianism. Oh, you're just out there. Those libertarians are just crazy. Yeah, no. See, we understand what happens with these government involvement in what should be market-driven things. Thanks to a directive from Congress, both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are allowed to keep a total of $6 billion, that's $3 billion each, as a capital buffer. Okay? Or are we getting the numbers kind of in our head here? $6 billion is what they're required. $3 billion, $3 billion for Fannie Mae and $3 billion for Freddie Mac. This is their capital buffer. But they own or guarantee anybody? Do you get, take a guess. Just take a, I kind of like these things because this number is so staggering, you won't get it. How much do they own or guarantee in mortgage securities? Again, they have to keep $3 billion in reserve. Already a pretty big number, right? They own or guarantee almost $5 trillion in mortgage securities. To put that in perspective, if just 0.12% of Fannie and Freddie mortgages go bad, 1/10 of 1%, a little bit better than 0.1%, it would wipe them out completely. They'd have no money left, and without another government bailout, they just go belly up. So they'll be bailed out again. If 0.1% of Fannie and Freddie mortgages go bad in a recession or in any scenario, 0.1%, they're bankrupt, and the American taxpayer's on the hook for $5 trillion. $5 trillion just sitting out there, guaranteed by the federal government. But don't pay attention to Mike Madison. Everything's fine. It's the greatest economy in the history of mankind. Look, the other thing I want to say here too is I'm not cheering a recession to hurt Donald Trump. I'm cheering for a recession, a reset. I want this to happen while I'm the one who bears the consequences of it. While my kids are still insulated in college, I'll admit that to you right now. I want to see the wheels come off this cart, and I want us to flush out all this debt and rebuild from a sound financial footing. Not because I want to hurt one party or the other. Not because I want to. And if you want, okay, I'm fine. If it happens in 2021, Trump gets reelected, we tape this thing and duct tape it and paperclip it together for just another year to limp through so that Donald Trump gets elected, and then I want it to collapse then. Now, that's going to hurt Trump's reputation going forward. He's going to be known as the president who caused through tax cuts and things. They're going to blame him. And it's not his fault, but they're going to blame him. But I want this recession. I want this reset. I want this horrible thing to happen on my watch because my generation caused it, not my kids. They got 4 years, 5 years in school, if they're anything like their dad. They won't rush out in 4 years. I want this thing to be over and done with. I want it to be brutal. I want it to, because it has to be. It has to be. We are bankrupt. I want it to wash out on my watch. I want to pay the consequences for it. I want to see problems for myself while my kids are still insulated and they aren't in the working world. They're not trying to start careers. I want them to start a career into a healthy economy so that it is sustainable. If you want to kick this can down the road another 10 years, what you're telling me and what you're telling kids like my kids that are 18 years old, when you're 28 and you're trying to establish yourselves, we'll all, you know, us grown-ups, we'll be 10 years older. Some of us will have left the planet by then. Other ones of us will be on retirement. We'll be on our swan song. But we're going to lay it at the feet of my kids' generation in 10 years, 20 years even. I'll give it 20 years. Maybe they can patch this thing together. Maybe we can really print a bunch of money and keep this thing going for 20 more years. That's great for me. But then my kids are 38 years old. Maybe had a couple of kids since then, trying to live the American dream, bought a house, have a bunch of responsibilities. They're really hitting their stride in their career at 38 years old. And then we pull the rug out from underneath them because of our actions, not my children's actions. They didn't do anything to deserve this. But we as adults refuse to take the pain. We refuse to do it because it might hurt our party. It might hurt our guy. It's coming, people. It is coming. Either today, in a month, in a year, in 10 years, in 20 years. The only question is when. Now, I know everybody else is telling you something different. It's up to you to make up your own mind. You can read the headlines. You can watch CNBC. They'll tell you the stock market always goes up. Everything's going to be great. Everything's rosy. Unemployment, you know, and I'll tell you the truth about how unemployment's calculated, how inflation's calculated. It's all just designed to keep us exactly where we are right now, pacified. As Henry Ford said, if we understood the banking system, there'd be a revolution by tomorrow morning. Well, I understand it. I want this thing wiped out before my kids have to do it. I'll take the penalty. I'll pay the price. It's my fault. My generation's fault. I'm one of the only people willing to admit that, apparently. But leaving this for our kids is a crime. It is an absolute crime, and the vast majority of people are cheering for it to continue. All night, with Frank Hay.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
I agree. It's kind of funny. I started the show off by saying I've decided to just kind of laugh the way things are going. Things are so absurd. And what I'm talking about is the fact that the Federal Reserve and the administration and CNBC and everybody comes out and tells us that we have the greatest economy in the world. And what happens? The Fed cuts rates and they're injecting $128 billion in 2 days into the overnight markets. They're just printing this money up, but they tell us it's everything's fine. It's the first time they've done this kind of liquidity injection in 10 years since the financial crisis, but they still tell us, oh, don't pay attention to that. Everything's fine. This is perfectly normal. I mean, you know, maybe not normal. We only did it during a financial crisis, but just don't pay attention to that. I mean, it's just bizarro world. You want to talk about, what is it, whistling past the graveyard? It is just bizarre. And it is almost funny as I just watch this unfold. We got negative interest rates in Europe right now. $17 trillion worth of bonds are traded around the world right now in negative interest rates. That means you are guaranteed to lose money when you loan this government or this institution money. You give them $1,000, in 10 years they give you back $990. Who the hell would do that? That's how bizarre the world has gotten. Donald Trump's calling for us to do that. It's so funny, we point to socialism and stuff, and people will say, well, the Scandinavian countries do great. Denmark can give it. And we say, oh, my God, we don't want to be Europe, do we? Well, apparently we do. I hear people calling on the conservative side of things for negative interest rates like Europe's doing. Yeah, now we want to be Europe, because the trick of it is you don't understand that the calls for these low interest rates, they just want you to sign off on Congress and corporations going deeper into debt. That's what they're asking you to sign on to, and most people do, because it's my team calling for it. You have no idea the destruction that we are doing, the detonator we are putting under future generations. I'm not going to be a part of it. So I started off saying I'm going to laugh at things, but I tell you what, when I start thinking about what we're doing to future generations, I got to admit, I get angry, flat out angry. That's not going to change next hour. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. I'm going to talk a little bit today in a little bit about John Bolton, National Security Advisor, is apparently out trashing Donald Trump. Now, that's not really surprising to me, to many people who thought that hiring John Bolton was a genius move, some 3D chess move. There was me and Tucker Carlson out there telling you that that was going to be a disaster that would end in tears. We were right. Most people tried to explain to you why that was great, even though Trump campaigned on, you know, peace and negotiation and getting us out of the Middle East. He suddenly hires the architect of the Iraq War, and I watched Republicans do mental gymnastics to justify why that was such a smart idea. The thing about it is, and the news about it that I'm going to cover later, is that this speech that John Bolton gave was in front of people, and he got thunderous applause. This was in front of people that inform most conservatives' view of foreign policy. Breitbart? Newsmax? Yes, the head honchos at those two websites were watching John Bolton. They think it's a national tragedy that he was fired. You know, I made a comment when Bolton got fired. I made a comment on the air about it. I said it was kind of funny. I went to Breitbart and I didn't see a whole lot of reporting on John Bolton being out. And now I know why. Because the Mercer family, who just loves John Bolton, introduced him as one of the greatest foreign policy advisors has ever existed. They were really shedding tears that he had been fired. They're supporters of Breitbart. Breitbart doesn't like it when their neocons get fired. And that's why they weren't really reporting on it. See, they didn't get you all charged up about the fact that John Bolton got... They'll point out every time Beto O'Rourke, who's polling at 2%, makes some stupid comment like that's real news. But behind the scenes, they are supporting the neocon warmongers. I've actually got even a segment that a lot of people ask me what a neocon is. I'm always, you know, I traffic in this stuff. I've been talking about this stuff for 20 years. I just assume everybody knows. I've got a little segment I may do of how you know a neocon. Maybe we'll talk about that. But I wanted to do something real quick. Kind of the theme of this show is that we are just living in this surreal world where I'm watching these things. I'm watching negative interest rates in Europe, which is... Common sense says it's impossible. Who would loan somebody money just to get back less in 10 years? And everybody probably thinks, well, I don't understand finance. There must be something, some way they make. No. No, there's no good reason for this. It just does. It's bizarre. It's never happened before. It's just bizarre. We live in a surreal world, and something that happened yesterday when it comes to this, to, you know, Mike Pompeo and what's going on right now with Iran, that's equally surreal to me, so I'm going to try to explain that to you. I want to take you through a picture. I want to paint a picture first, because this is kind of how I see the world. If anybody's interested in what motivates me to be, you know, anti-war, or to call out Mike Pompeo or U.S. foreign policy, those kinds of things, I'm going to paint a picture kind of how I view the world and see if it makes any sense then. On September 11th in 2001, 3,000 Americans were murdered. Murdered right in front of our eyes on national television. They were in their office. They were cops and firefighters. They were people just flying on a plane. Woke up that morning, thought everything was going to be normal. The next thing you know, we are watching them live on television being murdered. So imagine for just a minute that you were a loved one of the victims, a spouse, if you truly love them. You know, some people, when I say something about the spouse, they start to daydream. No, I mean, if you really love them, if your spouse was one of these people that was murdered, or it's probably even better if you try to think about it, if you've had children and understand the love of children or whatever you've got, anything that you truly love would give up your life for. Just imagine if that person was a victim of this. You spoke to him on the phone the night before. Caught up for a few minutes, you know, just talking about life and stuff. Maybe you planned a dinner for the next week. You didn't know what was coming. You're just talking to him. Yeah, hey, it's a typical phone call. And right before you hung up, you told him that you loved him. It's just a normal conversation with a spouse or a child that you love with all your heart. And the next morning, you turn on the television. You see the carnage that was 9/11. Your heart and stomach just sink through the floor. First thing you do is you reach for the phone. You try to call them. You know that they work down there. You know that they were on a plane. And there's no answer. You just stay glued to the television. Just this feeling of just being in a surreal world. This can't be happening. People who didn't even know people in these towers had that feeling. You just look at it. Hours go by. This is constantly on television. You watch for any updates you can. The news just continues to get worse and worse. Suddenly these buildings collapse. There's no answer. You cannot reach them by phone. It started as a couple of planes flying into buildings. The next thing you know, the buildings collapse and you understand nobody has survived it and you cannot reach that loved one by phone. You are calling, calling, calling. You actually heard during the course of the day before the buildings collapsed that people were jumping out of the windows at this building and you were forced to entertain the idea, oh my God, what if that was my child? My child was on one of those floors. You hear this story and your heart just breaks, thinking that your child might have been one of those people. And you try to call them again, and there still is no word. Phone goes straight to voicemail. By now the voicemail's full because you've left so many messages. Please call me. I just want to know you're all right. Your entire world is just completely frozen. We've been in these situations before. You're just scared. You're terrified. It's surreal. Things are happening. You can't keep track of time. You're just in a constant state of panic for hour and hour and hour. But by late in the day, you know. Because somebody would have called you to let you know that they were okay. The child, the spouse, would have called. Even if their phone was destroyed, even if they got out at the last minute, they would have gotten to a payphone and they would have let you know. Somebody would have heard from them by now. And so your child, your spouse, somebody that you love has just been murdered in the most public display of evil this country has ever seen. Ever since then, you're forced to relive this horrible, life-altering event over and over and over again every year, over and over and over again. Can you even imagine the sadness that would overcome you as a parent or somebody that lost a spouse? And then just a couple of years ago, you hear, you're a member of this sad, sad club, the worst club in the United States, the victims' families of 9/11. Husband was a firefighter, son was a firefighter, killed in these 9/11 attacks. You hear that Saudi Arabia was involved in these attacks. Now, you're paying attention to this stuff. The vast majority of American people have moved on. We don't really we don't talk about 9/11 much anymore. On the anniversaries, we give it some lip service, but you've lived this nightmare for 18 years. A couple of years ago, you heard the Saudi government was involved. High members of the Saudi government sponsored and funded the people who murdered your child, your spouse, your best friend in those towers that day. And you were sitting there watching that. You're absorbing that information, and you realize nothing has been done about that. Nothing. Not even a crossword. No military action. No sanctions. You have to watch your presidents, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, who sat on this information. They knew since 2002 that the Saudi high members of the Saudi government funded and sponsored those terrorists that murdered your child right in front of the world. And they did nothing. As a matter of fact, they not only didn't do anything, they covered up that fact for 15 years, a couple of brave congressmen, senators, traveled down into a secure room and read the classified 28 pages of the 9/11 investigation, and they came out and they started giving press conferences. Says, "Oh my God, people have got to know this stuff." They couldn't talk about it, but they said they had to absorb, you know, stop every few pages and try to absorb what they were reading because they found out, "Oh my God, Saudi government did this to us," and you have lost a loved one. Your child was crushed in the rubble, jumped out of a burning building from the 70th floor, their last moments filled with abject terror, and people watched it on national television, and you realize the perpetrators have never been held accountable whatsoever. But now you know, you join a lawsuit to sue the Saudi government. It's all you can do. Apparently, the government's not going to do anything about it. The Obama administration, the Bush administration covered it up. The Trump administration calls Saudi Arabia a great ally, so you sue. The government actually tries to stop you from suing them. The Obama administration tried to stop them, forbid them from suing another country for fear that it might backlash on us. You have watched your child murdered that day, have to relive it every year, and the President of the United States and many members of Congress tell you, "We're not going to allow you to even hold the Saudis responsible financially." Can you imagine? And then you see this. You see this yesterday. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has just arrived in Jeddah for talks with Saudi leaders over a response to the weekend attacks on two of the kingdom's major oil facilities. Your child was murdered, along with 2,999 more people, more Americans that were all loved by somebody, in the middle of the day, just destroying your life for the rest of your life. And you see our Secretary of State flying over there to get a little bit of advice from the Saudi government on how to help protect their country. I'm going to flesh this out. That's where I'm coming from. That's the way I view this stuff. This is a surreal world to me. Absolutely bizarre. American people aren't even outraged about it. We don't even care. Now, if a football player goes down to a knee before a football game, we got all kinds of energy for outrage about that. These victims' families have got outrage for what actually transpired in 9/11, or at least parts of what actually happened in 9/11. They're trying to get justice, but the media ignores them and our politicians ignore them. Their attorneys are the only ones taking this seriously. The rest of the American people are too distracted or don't care or so involved in hyper-partisanship that if it affects their party negatively, they don't want to talk about it. I'm going to read more about this stuff that went on yesterday with Mike Pompeo, Donald Trump, and his new national security advisor, which to my great, great sadness is being referred to as John Bolton Light. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
So John Bolton's out trashing Trump in front of a room full of neocons, including the people in charge of Newsmax and Breitbart, Alan Dershowitz, some other neocon warmongering filth that never actually suit up and fight any of these wars, right? Yeah, no, John Bolton's not going to be in a trench anytime soon, not going to be in a foxhole, not going to be advancing on the enemy. He's giving speeches at the Gatestone Institute that he helped fund, surrounded by millionaires and billionaires like the Mercers who put together the Breitbart page for you to shepherd you into being a warmonger, too, to create you as a neocon in their own image. Now, I recount the story of 9/11 and just the horror. If you could place yourself, if we can stop for a second and have a tiny amount of sympathy and empathy for the people who actually lost somebody there. It's horrific for all of us, but can you even imagine? Now, Mike Pompeo is a champion to many Trump supporters and many Republicans. He's a Republican from Kansas. He's a strong conservative. He was part of the Tea Party at one point. Mike Pompeo is a warmonger, a neocon. And he is part of the reason that Trump is not able to deliver on his promises of getting us out of the Middle East. I hate to tell you, but I was also one of the ones that warned you about John Bolton a couple of days before he was even announced. When I found out John Bolton was under consideration, I took to the airwaves and told you that was going to be a disaster. But oh no, Mike, you don't understand 3D chess. Mike Pompeo is almost as bad as John Bolton. Almost. But he seems to have a good relationship with Donald Trump, so I know there's a lot of Pompeo fans out there. As I read this story, I want you to just consider this for just a second. Mike Pompeo knows Saudi Arabia was involved in the 9/11 attacks on the United States that murdered 3,000 of our fellow citizens and changed our lives forever. Mike Pompeo knows that. Mike Pompeo knows that the Wahhabist sect of Islam that is practiced in Saudi Arabia is spread like a virus through the Middle East and even into the United States. Mike Pompeo knows that this Wahhabist sect of Islam is a radical sect in Saudi Arabia and spreads terrorism and funds ISIS and Al-Qaeda and al-Nusra. Mike Pompeo knows all of these things. But what he's most interested in is ignoring all of that and hoping that you do too, so that he can go make another war happen with Iran. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had just arrived in Jeddah for his talks with Saudi leaders over a response to the weekend attacks on two of the kingdom's major oil facilities. After a prior press conference by the Saudi defense minister, where it for the first time assigned public blame on Iran for the attacks, which initially knocked out half of the kingdom's daily oil output, saying the air attacks, quote, unquestionably had Iranian state sponsorship. Pompeo has announced the Aramco attacks constitute an, quote, act of war, unquote, by Iran. Mike Pompeo went to Saudi Arabia, the country that attacked us on 9/11, who exports a radical sect of Islam and funds the worst terrorist groups we've all been told to be afraid of. He goes right to them to make plans for a war against a country that's done nothing to us. Pompeo is in Jeddah, where he's expected to meet with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, or maybe we should call him Bone Salman, because, you know, he's one of the guys responsible for cutting up Jamal Khashoggi. He's to evaluate a possible response and to, quote, coordinate efforts to counter Iranian aggression in the region, unquote, according to a State Department statement. Quote, we were blessed that there were no Americans killed in this attack, but any time you have an act of war of this nature, there's always risk that could happen, Pompeo said. This is an attack of a scale we've just not seen before, he added later, speaking to reporters off camera just before landing in Jeddah. Now, Mike Pompeo, we've seen an act substantially worse than this one. It happened in a September day in 2001, and it was perpetrated by the guys that you're hobnobbing with right now. But I know we're supposed to ignore that, Mike, because you're convincing us that this next war is really going to be the good one. Yep. Iraq was a bit of a mess. Afghanistan, still a bit of a mess. Syria, an absolute mess. Libya, a total mess, a completely failed state we got absolutely nothing out of, even though we did get their leader out into the open and had him sodomized to death in the streets. And I guess to Mike Pompeo, that's a victory. But ignore the fact that he is actually in the country that sponsors terrorism, is in the country that sponsored the 9/11 attacks, as he gets you to focus on Iran because you love Mike Pompeo. He's a strong conservative. I hear it all the time on Sean Hannity. Must be so. He called the Houthis liars and emphasized they are not independent from Iran but should be viewed as Tehran's direct proxy. Here it is. Here's what Mike Pompeo's statement is. Quote, whenever you report about them and you say the Houthis said, you should say, the well-known, frequently lying Houthis have said the following. This is important because you ought to report them as if these are truth-tellers, as if these are people who aren't completely under the boot of the Iranians and who would not, at the direction of the Iranians, lay claim to attacks that they did not engage in, which clearly was the case here, Pompeo said. So there you go. Whenever you say Houthis, you should begin with the well-known, frequently known to lie Houthis, and then you can write whatever it is they say. And that'd be good reporting. And then it says in parentheses here, laughter. I guess he cackled a little bit. And that would be good reporting. And I know you care deeply about that good reporting. Oh, look at that. Mike, did you see that? Mike Pompeo took a stab at the media that we hate. He's on our team. He's a good guy. Mike Pompeo is every bit the liar that the Houthis are, let me tell you. This is really going to make some people mad, isn't it? See, we look at the world through this lens of good guy versus bad guy. Every conflict has got the good guys versus the bad guys. Let me break this to you. In a lot of conflicts, it's just two bad guys. Two bad guys with two bad motives. Whether it's Iran versus the U.S., Iran versus Saudi Arabia. See, we always think we get to pick the good guy and get on his side. Saudi Arabia, the country that sponsored 9/11 and exports radical jihadists, funds ISIS, al-Qaeda, al-Nusra throughout the Middle East, the ones that you were told that you must have your phones tapped, essentially, your text messages stored, your emails stored, your movements tracked. You got to take your shoes off at the airport, and you got to let your child be molested by a TSA agent because of radical Islamic groups that Saudi Arabia funds. And Mike Pompeo thinks you're so stupid that he can tell you that Iran's really the problem while he sits there in that den of vipers. This is the bizarro world we live in. Can you imagine if you lost somebody on 9/11 and you knew the Saudis were involved in the murder of your child there? Your government tried to stop you from even suing them, to hold them financially responsible, but you broke through that. Public outcry got you at least a suit, and you were watching Mike Pompeo go over there and glad hand with the Saudi Arabians who perpetrated that act. Can you imagine how that must feel to look at that and say, what is going on here? We've toppled seven nations in the Middle East, and this is our great ally? Now, I could go on and on about Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo was hired by somebody else, and boy, I hate to do it. I sure was hoping this next national security advisor, I was so complimentary of Donald Trump when he got rid of John Bolton. About time. Never should have hired him in the first place. I know many people think I'm the dummy. It was a genius move to hire him and then a genius move to fire him. And, you know, all this mental gymnastics we go through to justify everything that our party or our politician does. He's hired a new national security advisor, and the guy is actually called John Bolton Light. I'll play some things. And Donald Trump made some comments yesterday, too. I just want you, if there's any hope for us, I want you to just take yourself and put yourself in another country's shoes for just a second. Just pretend that you didn't win the lottery of your soul. You know, there's probably a long line of souls getting ready to come down to Earth. Every time a woman gets pregnant, boom, boom, boom. Here you go. There you go. It's got to be really fast, right? We're adding a lot of people. Souls just zoom, 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 shooting down there. You got lucky and you got an American mama. What if you bent down to tie your shoes before you made the trip to Earth, your soul, and somebody snuck in front of you and, oh, boom, you ended up in Iran? Most of us didn't earn our Americanship. I thank God every day that I was born in this country. I lucked up, but I didn't earn it. But I can't imagine if I hadn't gotten this lucky and had just ended up on the receiving end of our foreign policy in another country. And I want you to listen to what Donald Trump says and say, think to yourself, well, boy, if my soul had come one person later or 10 people later in line and I had ended up being Iranian, what would I think about the leader of the most powerful country in the world saying the things that Donald Trump is saying? We got to get outside our own heads. We think we are so special. I love this country. This kind of foreign policy will destroy it. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. I think I'm pretty upfront about this. I'm here to try to change some people's minds. This, I call it waking up, but I'm here to change minds, and I don't really care if who it is that I think is adding to the problem, whether it's Donald Trump or John Bolton or Mike Pompeo or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or any of them. I'm going to call it out. I don't have this allegiance to party or to politician. I used to. Man, I used to be a warmongering neocon. The beauty of that is that it's not a terminal condition. I actually have a little segment I'm going to do. I don't know if I'll get time to it today or not. Kind of let you know exactly what a neocon is. May save it for tomorrow. Donald Trump spoke yesterday. He's rolled out his new national security advisor. And as far as I'm concerned, the news is not good. I'll be alone in this. Also, as I was about John Bolton, time will tell if I'm right or wrong. This was the Trump was out with his national security advisor, out coming to the plains. And as I say, look, I voted for Donald Trump. One of the reasons was to get us out of the Middle East. I hate the language he uses. And the thing is so odd is that I'm not sure what compels him to do this, because I think in his heart he wants peace. He doesn't want to start another war. But people like this new national security advisor, people like Mike Pompeo, like Elliot Abrams, like John Bolton, his foreign policy team tells him that he's weak. And you're going to hear a reporter, the media does this too. Media calls out Trump's manhood. You know what the sign of real courage is? To stand in the face of the neocon establishment that's been in Washington, D.C. for the last 70 or 80 years and say to them, your way got us into big trouble and has bankrupted this country. You're not going to try to call me a chicken for not starting another war. We go to war when we're attacked, not for American interest, not for Saudi Arabian oil. Anyway, the rhetoric I find very, very disappointing from Donald Trump at this point in his presidency. This is him yesterday. And again, I just say, if any other country said this about us, you would be outraged. But for some reason, we feel there's an American exceptionalism where we can say whatever we want to about another country, and I guess it's okay?
Mr. President, said that the failure to strike Iran this summer was a sign of taken by Iran as a sign of weakness.
No, I actually...
Somebody asked him, was not striking Iran this summer a sign of weakness? So, see, that's the appealing, trying to call Trump out for being some kind of a chicken because he didn't start a new war. This is your mainstream media. This is your Republican establishment. This is your Democratic establishment. This is the system.
I think it's a sign of strength. We have the strongest military in the world now.
And that drives me crazy. Now... We were spending over $600 billion a year on our military. You add in another $200 billion for Homeland Security and all the three-letter agencies. We were spending $800 billion a year, even during the sequester time. But Republicans and the neocons and everybody tries to convince you that our military was withering on the vine. Now, let me tell you, I'm sure they're not efficient in spending that money. I'm not saying that a few $100 billion extra doesn't buy you some new toys or fix a plane here or there. But they were getting $600 billion a year. But the argument on the Republican side of things that drives me nuts is that, oh my gosh, it was a national catastrophe. You remember when they did that Obama and the sequester and all that stuff. The sequester was designed to try to stop the government from spending so much damn money. Don't pretend you care about these deficits and then cheer for a 700. It's just this idea that our military wasn't powerful under Barack Obama, because we started a whole lot of wars. We kept ourselves involved in a whole lot of wars. We were still spending $600 to $700 billion on the military alone during the Obama administration. People act like Obama somehow while he was, because Obama was a neocon warmonger too, as was his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. This is such a mind thing. I can't say it. People trying to be convinced that Donald Trump came to rebuild. We needed $750 billion to rebuild the military because $600 billion wasn't enough. Russia does it on 60. 6-0. We need 6-0-0.
Strength. We have the strongest military in the world now. And I think it's a great sign of strength. It's very easy to attack. But if you ask Lindsay, ask him, how did going into the Middle East, how did that work out? And how did going into Iraq work out? So we have a disagreement on that. And, you know, there's plenty of time to do some dastardly things. It's very easy to start. And we'll see what happens.
Can you imagine leader of China, Vladimir Putin, coming out and saying, oh, we got plenty of time to do dastardly things to the American continent? Can you even imagine? Would them be fighting words? Mike, they chant death to America. I don't know why. I mean, God knows we've extended our hand in friendship time and time again. Why are they so mad at us? I don't get it. Plenty of time to do dastardly things.
We'll see what happens. I think we have a lot of good capital. If we have to do something, we'll do it without hesitation.
Mr. Pompeo, that the attacks in Saudi were an act of war? And if so, what's the response on the U.S. end?
He just came out with a statement. He spoke to me a little while ago, and we'll have an announcement.
What did Mr. O'Brien bring to the table that you were looking for that maybe you didn't get through Mr. Bolton?
It's very interesting. Mr. O'Brien is highly respected. He was highly respected.
This is his new national security advisor.
Respected by so many people that I didn't even know really knew him. He did a tremendous job on hostage negotiation. Really tremendous, like unparalleled. We've had tremendous success in that regard. Brought home many people. And through hostage negotiation, I got to know him very well myself. But also, a lot of people that I respect rated him as their absolute number one choice. So, you know, I think we have a very good chemistry together, and I think we're going to have a great relationship. He is a very talented man.
Mr. President, you raised more sanctions on Iran today.
And here we go. We start getting into, hey, doesn't this swell your chest with pride? We've sanctioned more. Ratcheted up sanctions on Iran. We're going to talk about how excited we are about that. We're going to hear Trump talk about it. Again, because apparently we have some problem with the Iranian people who actually are the ones that suffer these consequences. And just for the record, if anybody doesn't know, sanctions are an act of war. We're supposed to ignore all of the things that have been done to Iran. And as I say, you know, everybody wants to say there's good guys and bad guys. And for me to defend Iran, somehow I'm taking sides with the bad guy and we're the good guy. It's all bad. The Iranian government's no good. But we're not punishing the Iranian government. We're punishing the Iranian people who have done nothing to us. But we're very excited. Trump's going to be very excited about the toughness of ratcheting up some more sanctions.
I did. We'll be adding some very significant sanctions onto Iran.
And what will they include, sir?
We'll be announcing it over the next 48 hours.
And you said that there will be a further announcement on Iran. Are you looking at a military strike?
We'll see what happens.
What are the options, Mr. President, that you're considering? You just said that there were some very bad things.
Well, there are many options, as you know, Phil. There are many options, and there's the ultimate option, and there are options a lot less than that, and we'll see. We're in a very powerful position. Right now, we're in a very, very powerful position.
Can you imagine another world leader talking about that? Well, we've got all kinds of options. We can, and now they ask him about that, the ultimate options. They said, Mr. President, are you talking about nuclear strike? And he said, no, I'm talking about us going in. This is being considered. And the man brought in to consider these things is that Mr. O'Brien. I'm going to read you a little something about him. I don't think it's particularly good news. It does not seem to be good news, unfortunately. I was so excited about the John Bolton firing. Apparently, from what I'm reading from the website, The American Conservative. I'm not reading the Huffington Post to get my news on our new national security advisor. As I'm going to read a little bit from a piece from the American Conservative, and then we'll talk a little bit about John Bolton going out there and trashing Trump's foreign policy. I'm going to bring it home one more time. The people in the audience that were reported to give John Bolton thunderous applause for his criticism of Donald Trump are some of the people in charge of the websites most conservatives turn to for their news, Breitbart, Newsmax.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment for today. I'm going to finish up on this. We got a new national security advisor. John Bolton is out. I praise Trump tremendously for that move. It was long overdue. He never should have been hired. I wish he would have admitted that he also made a mistake in hiring him so that people, Trump supporters, would understand that too. But I ask for too much. But I was so glad to see him go. But John Bolton, he's hitting the speaking circuit. He apparently also said he's going to be writing a book. He has lots to dish. Yep, there's your national security advisor that only one radio show host told you from the day his name was announced was a snake, a maggot, a swamp creature like no other. He's going to write a book about Donald Trump taking him to task. But yesterday, he went ahead and hit the speaking tour. Let me get to a couple of things on this, because what I think is so important in this is who still supports John Bolton now at the expense of Donald Trump, because you read their publications every day and think you get your national security news from them. They're warmongers, and they're teaching you to be a warmonger, a neocon. I'm going to explain that tomorrow. I've got a good segment on it. Bolton spoke to around 60 Gatestone donors at the exclusive restaurant Le Bernardin in Manhattan. Attendees included noted lawyer Alan Dershowitz and his wife Carolyn, former Attorney General Michael Mukasey, this was Bush's Attorney General, I believe, Newsmax CEO Chris Ruddy, First Amendment lawyer Floyd Adams, former Fox Business Network host John Stossel, former New York Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCahey, something like that, and New York billionaire John Casimides. Billionaire Rebecca Mercer introduced Bolton as, quote, the best national security advisor our country could have hoped for, garnering her very loud applause. This is where Bolton, without naming Trump directly, criticized Donald Trump and his foreign policy, explaining that Trump's making a huge mistake and doesn't know what he's doing. Now, that's Christopher Ruddy, the CEO of Newsmax, is part of the thunderous applause and goes to a speech where John Bolton trashes Donald Trump. Rebecca Mercer is the woman behind the Breitbart website. The Breitbart website that takes what are probably, when they first visit Breitbart or they first hear about Republican politics and they want small, limited government, a sane person, and turns you into a bloodthirsty, empire-building, nation-bankrupting neocon. But like I say, tomorrow I'll cover this. It's not, being a neocon is not terminal. I am a former neocon. On to Trump's new pick. Again, this is from the American Conservative. This guy keeps criticizing all of Trump's cabinet. He must be some commie liberal. I am not, sir. I am a constitutionalist, an adherent to someone who follows the words of the Founding Father that warned us about people like John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, and other people Trump is surrounding himself with. Trump announced selection of his fourth national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, the special envoy for hostage affairs at the State Department, will be his next national security advisor, and that's a clip you just heard, was him introducing Robert O'Brien to the rest of us. O'Brien previously served in the Bush administration's State Department. Hugh Hewitt, another one of these neocon talking heads, who wrote the foreword to O'Brien's book, has described him as, quote, longtime colleague of John Bolton, unquote. Since the Bush years, O'Brien advised the Romney 2012 campaign, and he also advised the short-lived Scott Walker campaign in the 2016 cycle. He's a typical hawkish Republican. Kurt Mills referred to him in his recent report on the race to replace Bolton this way, quote, Robert O'Brien, the Trump hostage negotiator whose stock has risen in the administration in recent months, is, quote, Bolton light, according to a source who has known O'Brien for years. There's a bunch down in here. I wanted to see if I could get through the story, running out of time in this in this segment. Now, apparently, this is the guy who negotiated the release of rapper ASAP Rocky in Sweden a few months ago, if you remember that, when he got in trouble for a fight. So that certainly qualifies you for advising the president on how to send hundreds of thousands of our men and women, our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our moms and dads halfway around the world to fight and die in the sand for Saudi Arabia. We've got another neocon in there. I don't know what's going on with Donald Trump. I'm the only one I know that questions it. I'm supposed to be loyal and just trust the plan. Donald Trump knows what he's doing. He's putting these neocons into places because, I don't know, I can't keep up with all the different rationales for doing this. Donald Trump's being forced to do this in some way, shape, or form. I don't know what it is. He finally got into a personality conflict with John Bolton because John Bolton's such a bloodthirsty warmonger that he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he probably spoke up too many times, and Trump just finally said, good Lord, would this somebody shut this yapping walrus up? And he just couldn't abide by John Bolton. I got to tell you, I don't know how Trump was around him without his skin crawling for 18 months in the first place, but finally Trump had had enough. Unfortunately, the same people who helped install John Bolton, the architect of the Iraq War, which Donald Trump has spoke out against over and up to and including yesterday in that clip I just played. He talks about Lindsey Graham and how misguided he is on his support for the Iraq War. Yet he hires people who would have done exactly the same thing. They're trying to do it with Iran right now. I don't know. Donald Trump is the last thread in there. We are hanging from a thread for a war with Iran. And Donald Trump is that thread. The problem is we're hanging onto that thread, and Donald Trump's piling a bunch of people on our end. We're putting a lot of stress on that thread. We're all hanging onto it together, and he keeps piling more people on. It's people like this O'Brien. Maybe I'm pleasantly surprised. I don't know enough. I knew John Bolton was a cancer the day his name was even considered. And I went into some level of delusional denial when the choice was going to be made, and I thought, well, I mean, John Bolton's probably always considered. There's no way. I listened to Donald Trump on the campaign trail. No way John Bolton gets the nod. And then all of a sudden I said, what? Well, I warned you then. I'm telling you now, this doesn't look good. Mike Pompeo's out saying you can't trust anything the Houthis say, and he may be right. The problem is he leaves out the fact that he also is a liar. Our foreign policy establishment lies to us constantly. I do a whole segment on Fridays about our foreign policy establishment and every country's foreign policy establishment. They lie to us constantly. That makes it difficult to know. And there are just, in the Middle East right now, there just aren't good guys. And that includes our team there. This is not anti-American, not anti-troop. It's not their fault. They're fighting and dying in the sand. I wonder if John Bolton has spent a moment to pause and reflect, or Donald Trump or anybody else in the administration, on the soldier who died 2 days ago in Afghanistan after the peace talks were pulled away. And Donald Trump said, the peace talks with the Taliban are dead. Well, so is another one of our soldiers. John Bolton scuttled those talks. Every soldier that dies from now on, well, every soldier that's died all this whole time, John Bolton has their blood on his hands. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.